In September 1989, a young couple in North Carolina were going to open up a brand new restaurant. All they needed was a business permit, which would happen the very next day. However, that very next day, Hurricane Hugo would hit, a Category 5 hurricane that would eventually kill 67 people. Trees were uprooted, power lines were down, many homes and stores were completely demolished. However, their restaurant was still standing. And the young couple found that health inspector, and they begged him to immediately come so they could open. But because of the power outage, he couldn't get to his office to issue that permit. No permit, no business opening. So, with a refrigerator stocked with 300 pounds of bacon and beef and bushels of tomatoes and lettuce and bread, there's only one thing that they could do. They decided to give it all away. So they put up a sign that said, "Free BLTs, free coffee." Soon, these first responders were flocking to their restaurant in great numbers. And then something quite amazing happened. People would eat at the restaurant. And then after they were done eating, they would start to wash dishes and sweep the floors. Dozens of these people were helping them make all of these meals. People from neighboring towns heard about this, what was happening, and they brought food from their own freezers to this restaurant. And somehow, as the day went on, those first BLTs stretched to over 16,000 total meals. They had so much food, they didn't even know what to do with it. A miracle occurred in that small little town. A miracle of love. Another miracle happened 2,000 years ago. Our gospel reading, the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible tells us that there were 5,000 men. Most theologians tell us, or they would estimate, that the actual number, after you count women and children, was close to 20,000 people. Let's begin this sermon with some geography. First, look at this map. This story starts at Capernaum, on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus and his disciples get into the boat, and they get to the east side of the lake, where that yellow circle is. It's about a distance of 4 to 5 miles. The Bible tells us that people were following the boat from the land. They would walk 4 to 5 miles following Jesus. Now, this means that they would have to ford the Jordan River to get to the other side of the lake. Now, I want you to try to picture this in your mind. This is almost comical. Thousands, thousands of people along the shoreline following a single boat. They finally get to their destination. Here's a photo of the plains of Bethsaida with the Sea of Galilee in the background. St. Mark tells us that Jesus sees all of these thousands of people and he has compassion on them. And he tells them to all lie down in the grass. The actual verse, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In this instance, Jesus plays the part of the good shepherd. And there's a parallel to this story in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He prepares a table for me. My cup runneth over. The Bible tells us that Jesus taught the people that afternoon, and then he healed all of their sick. Soon it was evening, and now picture 20,000 people who had not eaten since morning. And the disciples asked Jesus what they should do. Have you ever noticed that this is the only time in any of Jesus' miracles where Jesus asked for advice? Matthew tells us in his version of the story, he says, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test Philip because Jesus himself knew what he was going to do. Philip thought the problem was not enough food. Jesus thought the problem was Philip didn't have enough faith. When is the last time that God asked you to do something that challenged your faith? Maybe it's happening right now in your life. Did you ever wonder, why is he spending time with me? Now, think about this. God doesn't need you. He can certainly get things done without using you, but he doesn't need you. He is challenging you. He is testing you because, you see, God knows how the test is going to turn out. That's what makes God, God. So why does he do it then? Because you don't know how the test is going to turn out. He does this for your benefit, not his. He loves you so much that he wants to use you to further his kingdom. He creates situations in your life where you have to decide what you're going to do. And that's what happens to Philip. And Philip gets out his calculator and he figures, well, it's going to take about 8 months' wages to feed everyone. And he goes, Lord, there are no restaurants out here. Even if there were, we don't have enough money. Lord, I love you, but this is impossible. Philip was using his calculator. How many times have you used your calculator and you said, Lord, I just can't do this? Tithe? I can't afford the tithe. I have a hard time just paying the bills. Me? Go on a mission trip? I can't do that. I have to work. Plus, I might get eaten by a giant mosquito or something. Share my story with someone? I can't do that. I can't share Jesus with anyone. I might mess it up. I'm too shy. I don't know enough. That is the lack of faith that we have. And that's what Jesus saw in Philip. So, how does this whole story get resolved? It comes down to a small little boy. You see, God loves to use those little things. St. John is the only gospel writer who mentions the little boy, and he writes, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? These 5 loaves were probably 5 small little wafers, hard, brittle, about the size of a little mini pancake. Scripture also tells us that there were 2 small fish. That's it. Those 2 fish would have been small sardines. Jesus blesses the food, and the food starts to multiply. Did Jesus really need that little boy's lunch to feed all those people? Of course not. When Jesus asks you for something, remember, he doesn't need you. He wants you, though, to take that step of faith. And that's when he whispers in your ear, you are really going to enjoy this. Watch what happens now. This miracle shows you how God wants to work in your life. And then he will utilize the most simple thing that you have. And here's the fun part. God loves to use those little things. And that is when he can grow the greatest faith. And that is when you might say, well, then he must really love me because there is nothing smaller than me or more unimportant than me. And I think that most of you, some of you think that you are just so obscure, that you have nothing to give, that you may even think you are even insignificant. Do you know why this miracle is so important to you and me? Because that little boy is you and me. He basically had nothing. And he didn't say, well, Lord, you know, you take one of the fish, I'll keep the other one. I'll keep 3 bread, you get 2. No, he asked Jesus, he gave Jesus everything that he asked for. So what's the lesson? Listen carefully. God adds to what he subtracts from you so he can multiply it and divide it for maximum blessing. God adds to what he subtracts from you so he can multiply it and divide it for maximum blessing. But most of us keep hiding our small little lunch because we just think it's way too small. And you say to yourself, I really have nothing to give. There are so many other people around here that are better than me. I am a nobody. It would be God's greatest miracle if he could use someone like me. This pastor, Ashley, used to believe that statement. I am a nobody. Why? Why would God want to use someone like me? For God to use me, that would be a tremendous miracle. Do you believe that miracles still happen today? A former pastor tells about a man's daughter who had a tumor behind her right eye. She was taken to some of the finest doctors at Emory University down in Atlanta, Georgia. They told her this tumor had to be removed. However, it was a very dangerous surgery, and she was probably going to lose that eye. The day before the operation, the parents brought the little girl to the church, and they asked both pastors to lay hands on her and to pray over her daughter. They did, and everyone said it was a very moving experience. The very next morning, they were wheeling the little girl to the pre-op room, and the father said, I want you to take one more CAT scan. The doctor did everything he could to talk the father out of it. He goes, we've already done two. Why do you want to do another one? This tumor has to be removed. The father absolutely insisted that this be done. So they postponed the surgery, and they took her in for a third CAT scan. After that last scan, the doctor called the parents and the little girl into his office. He put all three CAT scans up on the screen. And then he said, I can't explain this. You see those two CAT scans on the left? There's clearly a tumor there. The one on the right, the one we just took an hour ago, that tumor's gone. I don't know what she ate or what you did, but that tumor isn't there anymore. This is a miracle. And the father said, it's not what we did, it's what God did. I think miracles happen all the time. I do. It's just that we don't hear about them. Some people consider the feeding of the 5,000 Jesus' greatest miracle. Why do you think all four gospel writers wrote about this one miracle? And did you ever notice that all four gospel writers, they all mention that there were 12 baskets left over? The reason is this. God doesn't give you what you need. He gives you more than you need. He blesses you more than you can possibly imagine. He has given us everything by his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. Because of that sacrifice on the cross, we no longer need to fear death. Do we have a great God or what? And that is why we need to thank him for all the blessings in our life. There's a Greek word for thanks. It is pronounced Eucharistia, which is where we get our word Eucharist from. And today, we offer the Holy Eucharist. We will be fed from God himself in the Lord's Supper. And it is altogether proper and fitting that all of us, for the first time in over a year, that we had the opportunity to come here to the Lord's altar, and we can have communion together. Today is a really special day. Like the feeding of the 5,000, we will all be fed with his body and his blood. And as you are fed today, as you are coming down the center aisle, as you are standing there, I want you to remember this. With Jesus, he can take your smallest gift and he can multiply it into something that will stagger your imagination. Give him your money. Give him your marriage. Give him your time. Give him your talents and give him your love. And then behold, a miracle that is extraordinary. God doesn't give you what you need. He gives you much more than you need. Allow him to bless you more than you can possibly ever imagine. Amen.